fervently, please, to Genesis 22. In the book of Genesis in chapter 22. And verse number 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Turn to Hebrews, please, for a final reference. In chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's all I read, and I trust with the Lord's help, and I recognize that all most would be acquainted with Genesis chapter 22. Probably it's one of the favorite passages in the book of Genesis. Probably the highlight of the book of Genesis is found in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham offering up his son. I want to look at that today, particularly having young people in mind, and I trust we might be able to, as it were, pass on to you principles that might help you in relation to apprehending what God really has for you in life. Because I would take it that Abraham is a very clear pattern to us in many aspects of living. In fact, he's found 27 times, or should I say 27 books of our Bible have the name Abraham in it. That would be every one of the New Testament. So this man really stands high in the estimation of God and in the economy of God. And really what we're going to look at today, that God doesn't try every man as he tries in Abraham. It's not everyone will be brought to the climatic moment in life similar to that which Abraham was brought to. There's a background to this man. He's probably 125 years of age when on Mount Moriah he offers up his only son. And yet the background of this man would indicate that he had all the qualities and all the characteristics that honored God in his life. I know he had a few mistakes here and there and a few blunders here and there. We recognize that man is only man at his best. And at his best is altogether vanity. But nonetheless, this man, we can learn precious, valuable, important lessons. And if you go to sleep on me this afternoon when I minister, can you put up your hand before you go to sleep? I'll let you know then if you're all right. Okay? So, I'll get you all away. When I think of Abraham, I want to look at him from different aspects. Number one, we will go down it very hurriedly, but I hope in a simple way that you'll pick up the lessons. Number one, we're going to look at the unexpected trial. The man never anticipated that he would one day be asked to offer up his own son who God had given to him. The son of divine promise. The son of old age. Mind you, it's amazing. He's not asked to offer up an Ishmael. But he's now asked to offer up the son of promise. As we read in Hebrews chapter 11. In other words, brethren, I take it the man of faith can expect anything from God in his demands upon him to honor his name. I tremble at that. I tremble at that. That he who professed to walk the path of faith, we know not what another day brings forth. But we'll learn from this subject this afternoon what God is seeking and wanting and yearning and desires is that he will have us all, body, soul, and spirit. He'll have the totality of us. not part of us. We are apt in our Christian thinking to put ourselves in little pigeonholes. I give this to God, this honors myself, and this honors my wife, and this honor belongs to the business. No, rather we will learn today, it's all God's. God wants us to be fully, fully yielded to His claims. So we have the unexpected trial that's going to come upon this man. Yes, his many years of experience. He was called to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees, chapter 12. And you go through chapter by chapter, and you see how he develops in the pathway of faith until God says to him, isn't it chapter 17 or 18, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now this man's moving in the realm of faith, and God now is going to try. It's not the word tip in the way we would use the word tip. The word trial, that's why I read Hebrews chapter 11. That by faith, Abraham being tried, offered up his son. It's in the midst of the trial that he offers up his best. And that's what we have here. The unexpected trial following on that. Could I suggest to you in chapter 22, this climatic chapter, in his life we have the unparalleled demands. I want you to notice it.
Take thy son, Isaac.
Wrong.
Take now thy son, Isaac, with my mother.
In other words, Abraham, I am not giving you a month to consider it. I am not giving you a year down the road to ponder it.
I want now something right now from you, Abraham. That son now 25 years of age. I'm going to claim him.
And in claiming him,
what he's basically saying, I'm claiming you.
Unparalleled demands. Your brethren, and we profess to love God.
And we profess to serve. And the demands upon us
being given
a definite response from our hearts.
Or do we live just Sunday by Sunday?
Do we perform on Lord's Day and through the week we forget?
Or do we recognize
that our lives in totality,
I would count my little visit
to Woodland Drive, arm and soul to say, and that's why we're here.
God has us here for that.
And we're in His hand, and we're waiting upon God, and we thank God for what's been done, and we'd like to see a mighty harvest, as our brother has said, 20 soul village. Sure, that's fine, that's what we've got to have. But have we left a mark on a young person here in our ministry?
That your life will never be the same.
That your life will be motivated by a thought of faith and a total yielding to God.
Don't miss your life
on a passing dream world.
The unparalleled demands.
Take now,
thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take now. Following that we have the unquestioning obedience.
It says he rose up, I love that, he rose up early. So God always uses early risers.
I'm not saying, don't say I'm an early riser. So I mean, I'm not going to say I'm an early riser, but I do believe, brethren.
I don't think I'm answering you at the work, and you go to the door and you have a nice clap, and it'll help us. In fact, you should be up before 8.
In fact, you should be up before 7. God always blesses the early risers. Those that speak to God first before they speak to anyone else.
See the face of God before you see the face of man.
That's what God does.
And this man rose up early.
He rose up early in the previous chapter 21.
And he sent away an Ishmael. And probably when he sent him away,
it seemed his first feeling. Everything's going all right now. That some of the problems pass up.
And it's just on top of that. Amazing.
To see how this man operates.
Unquestioning obedience.
You know, brethren, we are always pinning and howling at God asking to do something.
Is that right?
I hope we're not like that. I hope today we'll leave with this ring in our ears. It's only my absolute delight. Honor.
God never, never, never
will take a man to do anything for him. I can stop it and I'll spend the rest of the stop and we'll do it.
Well, I come under a knife.
Treason? Under Mr. McElwain?
Boy, I tell you. For sure.
You haven't done anything jointly with him.
And maybe you then.
No, he really put you through the ropes.
And,
you had to come up to a certain standard.
And he knew how to bring you down to your size.
Well, some people say, I was working through it.
But boy, thank God, I remember one time
with that man, and he was sick, you know, I was working with him, I was just coming from the grocery store
as a manager, cutting butter and talking to
stuff, that's what it was. And I remember Mr. McElwain, and all he knew was with a hammer and a raising tents and putting them down and jacking up buildings and down again.
And you were working from 7 o'clock,
and if you weren't up to here outside yet, just a little steam, a little strong, a little rolling about the hands to see.
I tell you, boy, he got you up all right. He didn't let you sleep. And of course, I remember,
out there with him to put up this hall.
He didn't never like it.
It's one of those halls he cranked up, you know, and we had him going along and we were looking at a chicken coop.
And he never liked that. But anyway, we had to work with him.
So saved in that. And I was running around helping. I didn't know what way to jack it.
And I didn't know what way to do anything.
And the jack hit his arm. Boy, that's what I think of. And he took
his hand away
a little. And jammed it.
And I said, what are you going
to do? Well, they send the old cartridge on the teeth.
And I went into the
store. I said to the woman, do you have a teapot? She says, no.
They were used to something else. I don't know what.
I said, do you have a saucepan? She said, yes.
I said, well, put hot water, boil it, and put 6 cracks of tea in. I shall get that man revived.
So I got the tea, and I remember going over to him, and there he's groaning.
And he looks up at me.
I said, Mr. McElwain, are you all right? He says, what's keeping you? I said, well, I just got your feet. You should have gone sooner.
And there I was running around there trying my best. I said, boy,
how am I going to survive this?
Listen, we'll never make anything for God
until we learn to take promise.
Swift, unquestioning obedience. And this man moved immediately to take his son. He rose up early.
Now, what are you going to point here? The undisclosed. I hope you get this.
When I read Genesis 22, you know what I say sometimes?
I
would love
to read more.
The omissions are
this.
Do you think the man only said what he said in 3 hours' journey? Or 3 days' journey? 72 hours? That man that's going to be tried to the very death for 3 days moves from out the ladder. And it seems to me his heart were 1,000 daggers digging into his soul. As every time you look at an Isaac, every time we would come home to him in power,
I'm going to lay on an altar, I'm going to slay him.
Oh, I know he's a God of resurrection. And I know he's able to raise him from the dead. I trust in that God with absolute confidence. Lord, I think that a 25-year-old, my own God and son, we're sure in the picture.
He's not in it.
Why, this man's moving alone.
God always takes his men alone.
Alone
with thee, O Master, will let the hurt be thrown against us. It's understood by all.
I dare to do what thine own heart would prize. I remember an idol like telescope, thought,
yeah, what can you do if you're wrong?
But I never forget sitting in an audience like this. Just shaved, and a young girl beside me, whom I had, sitting in a conference, wondering what I'm going to do with my life, just seeing it.
Just a band plucked from the morning. What am I going to do with my life?
There was once lived for sin and the devil. Nothing. Am I going to be a businessman? Am I going to go in for this or that or the other thing? And I sat at that meeting, had 2 ears open and heart open, my dear girlfriend beside me. It's just like yesterday. I remember a man, I was 6 feet more than an afternoon. Oh, man, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you his name, for he claims me sometimes. I know who it is. And anyway, I never forget. Boy, as he ministered that day, a young man, the life for God, and took it through the river. It was almost like a convicting meeting to me. Almost brought me back to pre-conversion. Only honesty. I bowed my head and couldn't hold the fingers back. I remember in my own mind, the old thing, I said, oh God, oh God, I don't want to waste my life. Whatever rules, whatever path, lead me over the cross, Lord. I want to leave my life on the altar. I want to give you my best. Swallow it. And after that meeting was over, I got into the old Morris Oxford car. I pushed it more than I could. And I never forget that old car.
You know the old thing? You're
a anyway. Going home, I remember leaving my dear girlfriend halfway. I remember pulling in and noticing the moment. Head is up. It could be $1 million. Over the steering column of that old Oxford, I heard my head, my heart, my will. I said, oh God, I got $1 million. Wasted my life for so many years. Lord, if you can do anything but in your heart, how can I go to my heart? I hope that will happen. It's not a passing dream. It's not a figment of imagination. It's not something, my friend, like a cloud that is sweet, that's real. David prayed, well, told the day. And he saw that young man drawing the column near the Christ. He was brought in an ungodly home. I thought the place where he read his Bible was out in the little lighthouse. David prayed to an interest in a soldier of hell. One day they're heading up into the hills of Scotland.
to visit an old grandmother on their push back.
And again, look through the windy hills, the Lachinary hills, to the front of the little cottage in the Gwyn, and sing a few hymns and get down the Bible, and then in prayer, and leave are coming back.
Such a beautiful day, that they stopped at a little stile, that's a little step or two was into a field.
They had their pushbacks there, walked over the stile, into the field, and they were looking at the horizon and the beauty of the cover. David Craig said that John would tell him when they read the dress, and says, "You're a reader of thoughts." John says, "What do you think you are?" He says, "Am I looking into the patterns of a young man? There's work, there's life. Mark, tell you in the cross."
John McCallum and that field that day look
into the place, David Craig says, "Yes, yes, you have it. David Craig says, "I wouldn't take a million. You hear that young man as he spread himself out on the heather hill
and poured his heart out to God and in the midst of the silence followed then he stirred his
throat. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that we're an offering for us, love so amazing, so divine, shall have a life.
Brethren, don't waste your time.
And the world is passing so slow.
Don't spend your time out there. The world can have its sports
and its pleasures and its big nights
and its memories and its fancies.
You go in, young man, for it is fully heaved to the claims of God."
Here's Abraham, the undisclosed meditations of his heart as he's taking up an Isaac. I want you to get the unique prophecy that he got.
Amazing thing. A man of faith will get things that no other man will.
A man that's moving in the realm of faith.
For that man, God will do it. That's why sometimes we're so strong.
That's why our knowledge is so limited.
That's why we hardly know what the passage means.
You know why? We're not walking in the communion and in the fellowship and in the pathway of faith and trust in God.
For from Mount Moriah before he ever offered, a son in law, where he says, God will provide himself a lamb or himself a lamb for our lamb.
It seems on Mount Moriah that day, Abraham spans centuries to the cross. Ah, brethren, I'll tell you, you go in for living for God.
Listen, we can't tell an eye from your heel, but we can't tell what God will do for us from them that these before God and our Bible,
in communion with himself, in the midst of the battle, in the heat of the day, in the crises of life. God will unfold, you know, some of the greatest gems of us.
Someone in this meeting knows, I know a man that took a child to meet him. 22 years, a little group, He stood in the platform with his daughter. Brother, when God helped us through, I'm serious, in the pathway, the revelations of communities of God, the soul, and the soul.
I want to get to the climax here. You know, we have his unwavering trust.
It seems to me, when he gets to the mount, he builds the altar. I know the discussion between the two. We're passing that by. Give me 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And he gets to the place where he sees the altar. He has the light, but he has the fire.
There's no hesitation. There's no turning back.
Being tried, he's offering up a son. It seems from he arose that morning until he led him on an altar. He's offering, offering, offering. And the climax, this is what I want to get to.
The undivided heart of an Abraham. The undivided heart. I love this man.
Almost down the knees. the old shepherd man, Peter, pilgrim, prince, prophet, priest. As he stands there, remember all of those words. This on the altar as the word of the Father. Then the Son.
You and I got of this recently. Maybe you think it's simple, but I love it.
This is a simple man. You and I got out of this? When Abraham offered up his son, God is saying a demonstration of himself offering up his son.
Hope you get it.
When you yield your life to God, as you tell him, God is saying just for a little picture, that when his son offered up himself, only greater, grander, nobler,
hope you see that.
I see that right now. I see that soon in the altar. When the voice says the heart, under the glistening sun, and that lonely mountain aisle, something transpired that never, never, never will leave the heart of your heart. Lord, that no health, God, not a word.
You know, he said, well, I'm going to give $20 this week.
In
your car.
In your house. In your wealth. In everything.
That's the guest. That's the cost.
That's the rent. That's where the price is involved. All that I have, my own life, all I want it for the girl, my strength, my soul, my all, is there.
And from that mount there was a voice, three things were said. This man, Abraham,
strong and the strong, brutal the dead. He reaches the center of the best in all life.
And he says, now that I know, says God, that thou fearest God, and that thou hast not withheld thy son, because thou hast done this thing.
But God amazes me that God gives a pleasure out of you. Heart to be thrilled. I'm going to stop here just a moment. I'm close.
Dear brethren, when all this came,
you can't see it for faith. You go out for salvation. Get God's salvation. You know what it pays? It pays for the time to the end.
I think we should put that into the hands of saints.
You go in for God, for Christ, yielding everything to Him. Brethren and sisters alike, we're not talking about men going out to the work. We're talking about the woman in the kitchen or the woman at the work.
Are the married woman,
are the children, are the husbands, and the fathers, and the grandfathers.
When my friend, life is over,
I that the esteem yourself see, when I stand before Him. And my sister, if we could say it, brother, know what you said? I wish. This is like this chance of how they do it. And
we're just coasting. We're just living day by day as well.
Get to the meeting as well. Keep going to the meeting. So listen.